It really speaks to my heart. We'll talk about it over a minute. Old Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he preached his heart out. They didn't pay him a bit of attention, you know. He warned them, and they just went right on doing what they was doing, you know. And he wept for them, and no effect, you know, and stuff, and all. But in his ministry, and he's still going tonight, you know. But did you ask the question? Oh, was Jeremiah, and I thought I was going to find it this evening, but I didn't quite get there. But maybe by next week, because the scripture talks about Jeremiah dealing with Ezekiel and stuff. About your ways, huh? But we'll see that and what's going on. But old Ezekiel here, he was born and raised in the land of Judah, right there around the temple and stuff. And he was actually, when the event of God's call on his life, was studying and preparing himself to be a priest and serving in God's temple. When Babylonians' army came back the second time, and in the second time they grabbed him up out of his seminary classes and took him along with 10,000 other captives back with them to Babylonia to serve as captives there for that 70-year reign that was taking place in their hearts and their lives. The whole nation of Judah was just a heartbeat away from being literally wiped out and completely destroyed. But 4 or 5 years later, when Ezekiel was 30 years old, that was a normal age to become a priest, is 30. God called him not to be a priest, but to be a prophet. Now, what's the difference between a priest and a prophet? A prophet only does what the Lord tells him. It thus, remember, all of Jeremiah's was always, thus saith the word of the Lord, and things that he's doing. And so during this time, and him in captivity down there for the next 6 years, he's going to do his ministry from being in captivity down there in Babylonia. And there was Jeremiah. He was still preaching to the Jews and Judah down there. Daniel was serving in Nebuchadnezzar's court, the Kibar, or the river that connected to the Euphrates in Babylonia, was a location for a Jewish settlement of exiles that had established them a place down there and made them a little colony of exile. They still slaves, they still had to go in and still had to do, but they could build them houses, they could, you know, all the things that the Lord told them to do, make the best of it. And that little settlement, when you hear the Kibar River, that's where they went and established it. And the reason they would do that was because of the supply of water. Water is a precious commodity in their day and time. And so here Ezekiel is going to prophesy, thus saith the Lord, to these Jewish settlements that are being held down there in exile in Babylon. And he had some specific things that he had to do. First thing, he had to dispel the false hope that the children of Israel or the Jews had that were in captivity down there, that they weren't going to have to stay there the whole 70 years. He'll relent. If we pray, if we beg him, he'll cut it short, you know. He'll turn our sentence from 70 maybe to 20 or 30. But not so. They had to serve the whole time there in that situation that he was there. And so they didn't respond positively to Ezekiel. They're like they don't respond positively to Brother Larry or a lot of other folks that we would hope would hear the word and it would stir their hearts and get them to the situation. But the main thing that Ezekiel had to do consisted of four things, and it lists them in my little footnote, and I'm going to read them to you. Number one, to help the exiles understand why they had to be taken captive. They just couldn't understand it. They put their trust in what? Same thing that they did for Jeremiah. Because the temple of the Lord, the house of God, was in Jerusalem, they thought what? Oh, God won't let them come in here and tear it all up. Did they do it? You better believe they hauled out everything that was worth anything and then burnt the rest, right? Number two, it was his job to dispel the false hope that the captivity was going to be cut short. He won't keep you there the whole 70 years, wrong, you know, and their heart and their life. Number three, bring a new message of hope. Give these people something to hope for as they wait on the Lord. Number four, call the people to a new awareness of their dependence upon God. Teach them that they got to depend on God. Who had they been depending on? Where's our country at today? They in need of some of these same things here, you know. You know, when they talk about, well, I just don't believe the Lord sent people to hell, you know. Still, these people, they just didn't think they'd have to stay down there 70 years, but what happened? They had to stay down there 70. These people that think God's such a kind, loving, caring God, he'll not send. They're right, he didn't. They sent themselves by their rejection, you know, and their heart and their life. And a lot of people just are the opinion today, when I'm dead, I'm dead. That's it. They don't want to talk about any afterlife. They don't want to talk about any rising. They don't want to talk about any of those kind of things, you know, in their heart and their life. Let's see in these two chapters tonight what happens and some interesting things is going to take place. So kind of stay with me as we run through this here. And it said in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. He was down here where this little settlement of Jews that were in exile had made them a community and a little city or a little town, whatever you want to call it. And they were watching out one for another and stuff. And he said, I was just down there among the exiles when all of a sudden the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. That's something. You're standing there and amongst all these other exiles and stuff, and he didn't say we saw or they saw. He said here, I saw visions of God. And so as he's dealing with them here, he said, the heavens open, and I saw a vision of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exiles of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzai, by the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. God's about to call him and commission him for what he wants him to do in his heart and his life concerning his new position as a prophet instead of a priest. God's going to change his direction. You know, he has a way of doing that, you know. I was content to be a Coca-Cola man, make a career out of it. Good living, good benefits, good people to work for, everything. But God had a different idea, you know. He changed that and all around. And he recognized, he said, here, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Verse 4 said, I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. Now, if you fast forward here to Revelations chapter 4, I believe it is, and verses 6 and 7, you'll see some of these same descriptions in Revelations. God used, and what is he making this disguise for here? Why is the windstorm come out of the north? Why an intense cloud and flashing lightning and bright lights and stuff? What did God say about seeing him? No man could see him and live, could he? Anybody saw his face, they would die. So he's making these diversions here to hide. And out of this, he's going to speak to Ezekiel and tell Ezekiel what he wants him to do. And he said the center of the fire looked like glowing metal. And in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearances, their form was that of a man. But each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. And when he's describing all of this and telling all of this, in verse 3 there, if you look at it, it said the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the way it's used there in the Greek and the Hebrew, just means God is strong. God is strong. Or God strengthens. And in this very real sense, my little footnote says this, that in spite of the captivity, God's sovereign strength prevails, and he will judge his enemies and restore his true people. Kibar River is just outside the city of Babylon, okay? This little colony of folks has gathered down there and made them a little community, and they're making the best out of their 70 years of being in exile down there and stuff. And out of that situation there, they came together, and the scripture says that God's sovereign strength prevailed, and he will judge his enemies and restore his true people. After 70 years, what God did? Began it a little bit before that, didn't it? So when it was 66 years when the old king had a turn of heart and began to move. He said when Ezekiel received this vision, he was far away from the temple of Jerusalem. The physical symbol of God's presence. Through this vision, He learned that God is present everywhere, that God's activities in heaven are shaping the events on earth. Here he is. He's been drugged from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay? Reestablish yourself down there with this little colony of folks at the Kibar down there, river. And he's... But what was he doing when he got drugged away by these soldiers and 10,000 other young men? Studying to be what? A priest. Yeah. And now he finds himself a prisoner of war there to be caught up and tied up into all this displeasure and stuff of what he wants in his heart and his life. And so he's way away from there. But listen what he says about the four living creatures. He said each of the four living creatures had four faces, symbolizing God's true nature. Some believe that the lion, that was the lion represented strength. The ox, or the second face, diligent service. The man, intelligence. And the eagle, divinity. Others see these as the most majestic of God's creatures and say that they therefore represent God's whole creation. The early church and their leaders saw a connection between these things in their hearts and their lives. Now think about it. I told you Ezekiel can move us kind of fast place from Old Testament to New Testament as we go along through it, you know. But the lion, which here they said represented strength, the Gospels believed the lion was Matthew, presenting Christ as the Lion of Judah. The ox was Mark, portraying Christ as the perfect human. The eagle, John, portraying Christ as the Son of God, exalted and divine. The vision of John in Revelation 4 parallels Ezekiel's vision. So there's going to be a lot of connections. You know, I was reading, I told you I wanted to hurry up and get to this because I want to get to, but I'm going to tie all this together. We've come a long way, you know, this many. We've still got a little ways to go to get to those things. Verse 10. Their faces looked like these. Each of the four had the face of a man. Now if I can turn these pages. Come on. Do good. That ain't good enough. I'd even try to do like Miss Winnie said, water it up. I can't even do that. Look at that. I turned two pages. I thought I had one, but I had two. Come on, man. Right back where I started. That ain't where I'm. What's the matter with you? I just want chapter 2 is all I want. I don't think he's going to give it to me. There you go. I got you. Sooner or later you had to give up, didn't you? And on the right side, each had the face of a lion. On the left, the face of an ox. Each had also the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the Spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. To me, that was saying they were following the Spirit. And wherever it went, they went. What should we do with our lives? Follow the Lord. I tell folks all the time, you know, it's the way I'm trying to deal with my problem. You know, Lord, you in the lead. I'm just following. Whatever you got planned, I want to go and be where you want me to be. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the Spirit would go, they would go, without turning or as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire, or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparked like chrysolite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intercepting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creature faced. The wheel did not turn about as the creature went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around, being symbolic of God. Being all-seeing, all-knowing, all, God doesn't miss a thing. He knows the number of the hair of your head. You know He's got to have a record on what each and every one of us is doing. This wheel, you've seen the wheel and inside the wheel, and it tumbles, you know, but it doesn't swivel. The one inside does the swiveling, doesn't it? So, didn't matter if they went east or west or north or south, whatever direction they went, and it had eyes all around. In other words, all-seeing, all-knowing God. Verse 19 said, when the living creature moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the Spirit would go, they would go. That's a good testimony, isn't it? Wherever you lead, I'll go. When the creature stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose with them. Because the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. God, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-kind God. Verse 22 says, spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice, and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creature moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of a rushing water, like the voice of the Almighty, like the turmoil of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. And so, as he's sharing here, he says the wheel intercepting the wheel. Two wheels at right angles to each other, one on the south, one on the north, and the other on the east and the west. And they were able to move anywhere, in any direction, east, west, north, south, whatever, in their heart. And God may have had them restricted down there in Babylon, but He's watching out for them wherever they are, and He's in their presence. And things that are happening. There came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high and above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. Figure like that of a man. God's holiness was preparing old Ezekiel here for what God's about to tell him. He's getting him to understand all this angels and the four faces and the wings touching and all the descriptions of the two wheels going in whichever direction it went, you know, being led by the Spirit. What do you think God's trying to tell Ezekiel? Ezekiel, I got something for you to do, but you got to follow my leadership. You got to do what I tell you to do, your heart and your life. Because Ezekiel went from being a 30-year-old student of the priesthood to being in captivity down here with the rest of them. And now, you know, all of his plans were shattered to be a priest. And after putting in a few years there in exile down there, here comes all of this stuff. Remember, this is happening, and who's seeing this? Just Ezekiel. No one else. But he's in the midst of what? A whole big bunch of folks, isn't he? But God's not calling the Jewish nation. He's calling one man, Ezekiel. Now let's see if we can see what he's going to tell him. I saw one who high above on the throne with a figure that was like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist and up, he looked like he was glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him. Listen to this. Like the appearance of what? A rainbow. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. You know, if you ever notice when we see our rainbows and they're across the skies and stuff, when we leave the colors, what is the expanse above it? Have you ever paid it any attention? You know, covering there. It's like a cloud, the scripture says. You know, I think it's the protection between heaven and God's promise of what he's doing. He said here, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. He was overwhelmed by what he saw, that rainbow. What was God's purpose for the rainbow? To remind Noah and his family and all who came after him that he'd never destroy this good earth of ours again by water. You know? But later he told him how he was going to destroy it, and it was by what? Fire. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell down, face down. And I heard the voice of one speaking. Go right on into chapter 2. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. He called him the Son of Man, emphasizing how much difference there are between man and God. What are you in the sight of God? What am I? What are we going to be like when we stand there? I would know Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." He saw his unworthiness, didn't he? When he stood in the presence of the Lord. "Stand on your feet, I'll speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He's on his face before the Lord, and when he felt the presence of the Spirit of God come upon him, he reached down and raised him up. Speaking, the Scripture says, he said, "I heard him speaking to me." Verse 3 said, he said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites to be a religious, rebellious, not religion, but a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, that they and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day." What are you telling me he was doing? "I'm sending you to the Israelites, a rebellious bunch of folks." Wonder what he'd say about our world today. "They have rebelled against me. Their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says." All right, let's stop there for a second. What did Jeremiah get into by speaking the word of God? They wanted to do what to Jeremiah? Kill him. Tried 3 different times, didn't they? God put his hand of protection upon him. You know, what did I tell you about Jeremiah when we started studying him? Hey, that's right. And old Ezekiel looked like I'm following his footsteps, don't he? What he's doing. And he said, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid. Once. Next verse. Do not be afraid through briars, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. That's the second time he tells him, do not be afraid. Number 3, do not be afraid of what they say or testify by them or terrified by them. Though they are a rebellious house, you must speak my words to them, whether they listen or they fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. He has made his call. He has commissioned Ezekiel to do what? Go and tell this religious bunch, rebellious bunch of folks what I have to say, you know. About 44 more chapters, or something. I think that's about right, 46 chapters altogether. You know, we'll see how he does. But one little 30, he may be 34 by now, God's put this call on his life and stuff, commissioned him what he wants him to do in his heart and his life. And what's he got to say? Whew. I'm already dealing with a bunch of mad Jews. They upset because they lost everything in Jerusalem. They hadn't kept him. Most of them was going to die down here in that 70-year period of time. Very few is going to go back able to restore Jerusalem. You know there got to be a little bit of bitterness there, don't you imagine? A whole lot of hurt, you know? Some of them, their folks are scattered from here, there, to yonder. They don't know where they're at, what the situation is and all. Then here comes along a little pipsqueak, you know, claiming that he has seen the Lord. The Lord told him to tell them. You know what my first thoughts was when I heard that, when I said that to myself? Oh my goodness. Got another Jeremiah on our hands, you know. And they do, don't they? They do. Any question? Any comment? Next time you see a rainbow, you know, you got something else to believe in besides I'll not destroy this earth again with water. Now you can say it represented the presence of the Lord, the children of Israel. Yep. His heart is lying. Old Jeremiah saw some things, but Ezekiel's got him beat right now, you know. We don't know where we're all going to deal with when we get in there. It's going to be awesome. We're going to enjoy it. I think we'll have a great time. Any thought? Anything you want to share? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch, but so easy to get along with. Yeah. Yeah.
Contrast, parallel. So, wrong there. And then, people.
The Old Testament ain't relevant for today, you know? That just don't sit well with me at all. Don't sit well with me at all. That's for sure. Shelton dismisses, brother.